Access to legal abortion is on the ballot once again in South Dakota. Twice before, residents have declared their intentions, voting down abortion bans. In 2006, 55% of voters said no to an abortion ban. Kate Luby was the state director for Planned Parenthood then. She talked with supporters on election night about returns.
And the people have sent a very loud message tonight to the legislators that are going back to
No more, Luby said to the crowd that night, and to reporter Denise Ross for a documentary called Unplanned Democracy. But anti-abortion groups continued their challenge to abortion access with another ballot question in 2008. This time, the initiative would expand the exceptions clause. It would allow abortion not only to save the life of the mother, but also in cases of rape and incest. Gil Ketzel is a former Democratic state lawmaker who served in the state house for 15 years. He says expanding the exceptions will bring in more votes. He was also interviewed for the documentary project.
If rape and incest were in there, to the satisfaction of those that's the reason that they won't support the law, if that was in there to their satisfaction, it would pass overwhelmingly.
Advocates who support and oppose legal abortion mobilize once again. But the 2008 ballot initiative fails.
Not only did South Dakota voters reject the proposed abortion ban known as Measure 11, it was by a landslide. Jan Nicolai, co-chair of the group fighting the ban.
Once again, state voters reject an abortion ban by a similar 10-point margin, 55% to 45%. It's those abortion rights success stories that have supporters of a new constitutional amendment feeling confident. That's despite South Dakota's deeply conservative and notoriously anti-abortion political institutions.
It's been demonstrated time and time again that if the voters have a chance to vote directly on some things, regardless of what the legislature does, it'll pass.
Rick Weiland is co-founder of Dakotans for Health, the group behind a new ballot initiative to expand abortion access. Just after the Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade, he talked about the intentions of abortion rights advocates. But somewhat surprisingly, South Dakota's 2024 ballot initiative to allow limited access to abortion does not have the support of two historically integral abortion rights groups. I'm Jackie Hendry, and this is SDPB's Unplanned Democracy, the story of South Dakota's third vote on abortion in two decades. Kat Walsh shows up at the Dada Gastro Pub in downtown Sioux Falls. It's November of 2022, and Walsh is not here to grab lunch. Instead, she's here for a stack of papers. She's circulating petitions to put a third abortion question on the ballot in 20 years. Walsh says she supports abortion rights and has never circulated petitions before.
And I'm very upset what happened with our state. This is completely, completely wrong. And we have to fight back, and we've got to get this back on the ballot. We've been pro-choice. We've always been. And this has got to get on the ballot, and we're going to do it.
The new South Dakota ballot question proposes a trimester framework for abortion access. It prohibits the state from banning abortion in the first trimester. However, abortion restrictions would be allowed in the second trimester, and the state could ban the procedure in the third trimester. Exceptions to the ban would include saving the life and health of the mother. Kat Walsh is not the only person driven to action. Ann Randall is also grabbing petitions to place the question on the ballot.
I think it's important for women to make their own decisions. And the way things are now in our state, we cannot. And I'm not going to have children at my age, but I have daughters and granddaughters and friends, and I think they all deserve the right to make their decisions without having our legislature, our governor, tell them what to do.
The campaign for this new ballot question features a familiar face. Tiffany Campbell shared her abortion story in 2006, when voters were debating whether to approve abortion restrictions passed by lawmakers. Campbell says she was in the middle of an extremely complicated pregnancy.
I found out I was pregnant with twins, and they were dying in utero from twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome. And we had to, in order to save at least one of the twins, we had to abort one in order to save the other.
It became a major storyline during the 2008 vote on restrictions. When the U.S. Supreme Court's Dobbs decision eliminated the right to legal abortion, South Dakota's abortion ban was triggered into law. It does not allow abortion for a woman with so-called fetal anomalies. If the restrictions had been law in 2006 or 2008, Tiffany Campbell says she might not have had the choice to save the life of one of her twins. Campbell says the court ruling made her sick to her stomach.
We won twice already, and we won by 10 points each time. And if Kansas can do it, we can do it.
In fact, Kansas is one of six states that have voted on abortion access since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. So far, all of those states have upheld reproductive rights and pushed back on abortion bans. But there's disagreement over how to best reinstate abortion access in South Dakota. And that's left two notable groups unwilling to support the 2024 ballot question. Samantha Chapman is advocacy manager for the ACLU South Dakota.
I mean, we're never going to stop fighting to reinstate legal abortion access in South Dakota. I mean, we believe that it's everybody's right to bodily autonomy, to self-determination, through whatever, you know, means we have, while also being strategic about what is feasible, what is possible.
But neither the ACLU nor Planned Parenthood North Central states have come out fully supporting the ballot question. In a statement, the group say they hope residents will continue to use their power and vote to create lasting change, and are, quote, committed to building a future where sexual and reproductive health care is accessible to all South Dakotans, including abortion care. Chapman says even before Roe was overturned, state lawmakers spent years chipping away at abortion access, passing dozens of laws targeting the procedure.
So since Roe was technically the law of the land, they couldn't try to ban abortion, knowing that that wasn't really going to fly with the public. But what they could do was make it a lot harder for people to access abortion care here in South Dakota.
Chapman says 72-hour waiting periods and mandatory counseling from pregnancy help centers stood in the way of a pregnant person's ability to access abortion, something she experienced in 2021.
And even then, the way that the laws were in South Dakota, the waiting period was so long at Planned Parenthood that I had to go to Minnesota to get care.
Chapman says the waiting period, combined with the limited access to reproductive care, made it difficult for women, especially those in isolated parts of the state. That's something ACLU Director Libby Screen thinks about a lot.
I think one of the mistakes that we at the ACLU are hell-bent on avoiding is creating any sort of legal framework that could be called into question or that could be chipped away at or that could reinstate the status quo where we had a right in name but not a right in reality.
Screen says it took 50 years to overturn the nation's abortion rights, and creating a new framework for reproductive justice will also take time. The ACLU and Planned Parenthood backed Michigan's constitutional amendment expanding reproductive rights in 2022. The measure, which voters passed, ensures a right not only to abortion, but also prenatal care, birth control, and other treatments related to reproductive health care. South Dakota's constitutional amendments are required to stick to a single subject.
You can't decorate that tree with a whole bunch of ornaments.
Rick Weiland is co-founder of Dakotans for Health that backs the abortion ballot initiative. He says their focus is purely on abortion access.
And what the state could regulate and what they couldn't. And they can't prohibit up through the second trimester. They can regulate if it's reasonably related to the physical health of the mother in the second trimester. And it's not about 15 other things that were in the Michigan language.
Weiland says Dakotans for Health offered Planned Parenthood and ACLU organizations chances to weigh in on the ballot measure language.
You know, we'd had some preliminary conversations with some of those folks at the national level that just weren't clued into South Dakota's sort of nuance. And we've been in this space now for about 10 years, so we've learned. We've learned a lot. But there are a lot of people from the outside that think they know better, but they don't.
However, ACLU South Dakota officials say the ballot language was filed and finalized before they were meaningfully consulted about it. After a break, we'll take a closer look at the role South Dakota played in taking down Roe v. Wade.
SDPB's Unplanned Democracy is made possible with your membership to Friends of SDPB and the Report South Dakota Fund, with additional support from Wrench Law in Rapid City, lawyers defending South Dakotans since 1992. Learn more at wrenchlaw.com. Watch Denise Ross's 2008 documentary Unplanned Democracy on SDPB's YouTube page.
This is Unplanned Democracy from SDPB. I'm Jackie Hendry. Since South Dakota voters rejected abortion bans in 2006 and 2008, lawmakers have passed more than two dozen abortion restrictions. That's something Kristen Hayward has watched as the manager of advocacy and development for Planned Parenthood in Sioux Falls.
But if you look back on those years, and between 08 and even when I started at Planned Parenthood in 2018, there were a lot of these current legislators who are still in office who came in with a mission, and their mission was to shut abortion down.
The laws include a 72-hour waiting period after a patient's first visit to a clinic. Another details a script that doctors must use with their patients before an abortion. Anti-abortion advocates say a more crucial law requires women to seek counseling at pregnancy centers before obtaining an abortion. Since 2005, the anti-abortion movement has worked to pass laws that ensure pregnant mothers are fully informed about the risks and consequences of an abortion procedure, not coerced into having an abortion. Representative John Hansen entered state politics because of abortion. The Republican from Del Rapids talked about the state's restrictions months before the Supreme Court ruling.
We've seen a decline in the abortion rates because that bond between a mother and her baby is probably the strongest bond over the course of human history. And so as pregnant mothers become aware of this, those abortion rates go down.
When the legislature passed its 2011 law, the number of abortions in South Dakota declined from 600 that year to 192 in 2021. That was the last full year abortion was available in the state. The 2011 law became the state's most important piece of abortion law. It required patients meet with their physician in person before a mandatory waiting period of 3 days began. In the interim, a pregnant person was required to seek counseling with a pregnancy help center. Over the years, the law became critical in the strategy to overturn Roe v. Wade. The law's importance was never more clear than in early 2022.
Over the last decade, abortions have dropped sharply in South Dakota.
During an annual speech to kick off the legislative session, Governor Kristi Noem focused on abortion. Texas had recently enacted a six-week abortion ban, and the governor called on South Dakota state lawmakers to do the same.
There's more we can do. Today, I am asking all of you to protect the heartbeats of these unborn children. I am bringing legislation to ban all abortions once a heartbeat can be detected.
Noem then received one of the longest standing ovations of her speech. But that fanfare is short-lived. A few weeks later, the governor cannot get her proposed bill introduced.
Draft 579, an act to prohibit abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detectable. Entertain a motion for introduction.
When her office asks a committee of House Republican leaders to introduce the bill, no one will.
Seeing none, motion fails for lack of a second. We'll move on now to our...
Shortly after, Governor Noem blasts lawmakers during an impromptu press conference.
Well, I think those that are pro-life that are choosing to not hear this bill are listening to the advice of one out-of-state lawyer
from New Jersey. And they're not listening to national leaders in the pro-life movement on the momentum we have in front of the Supreme Court and what this legislation means to South Dakota.
Working quietly behind the scenes against the proposal is Dale Barcher, the executive director of South Dakota Right to Life. When the six-week Texas abortion law was upheld in the courts in 2021, Barcher called it an important bill. But when the House declines to take up Governor Noem's bill, Barcher says the group appreciates the governor's anti-abortion stance. However, he is focused on something else.
Predominantly, South Dakota Right to Life, our number one goal is do no harm to a piece of litigation that we have in the Eighth Circuit Court currently, and that's Noem versus Planned Parenthood.
That's a case stemming from the 2011 abortion law, which requires a pregnant woman to consult with a pregnancy help center and 72-hour waiting period before receiving an abortion. But the law had a larger goal, to establish in the courts the concept of fetal personhood. It also provided constitutional protections for the relationship between the mother and fetus. The case was tied up in federal courts for over a decade.
We believe that the passage of a Texas-style heartbeat bill will moot the litigation that we currently have in the Eighth Circuit Court. For that reason, we cannot support a Texas-style heartbeat bill verbiage.
When South Dakota Right to Life testifies on an abortion bill, whether for or against, the supermajority Republican legislature listens.
They're very powerful, and rightfully so.
That's then-Republican House Majority Leader Kent Peterson. Republicans hold a supermajority in the state House.
They're a very strong organization, and people respect their opinion on all the matters that they weigh in on.
Voting against South Dakota Right to Life carries political risk for state lawmakers. The group sends out voter guides that are influential during primary elections. Even after it rejects her Texas-style abortion ban, Governor Noem praises the group.
Oh, I think South Dakota Right to Life for years has been a warrior for protecting unborn lives and have always appreciated the integrity they brought to every discussion. The challenge this year is that we had a bill that had to deal with protecting life and we didn't have a debate on it. I don't necessarily place the blame on South Dakota Right to Life.
Right to Life's influence in the state legislature doesn't just extend to comprehensive lobbying efforts. The group has deep roots in the state legislature, with several current and former lawmakers on the board of directors. Representative John Hansen is the vice president of the group. He's been involved in the organization and anti-abortion movement for years.
The abortion issue is the main reason that I ran for office in the first place.
Hansen says his intention is to preserve unity in the anti-abortion movement.
You know, we can have disagreement over particular bills, but at the end of the day, I think it's very important for pro-life South Dakotans and pro-life Americans to remember that we're all moving in the same direction, that we all want to save unborn life from being terminated through the abortion process, and that at the end of the day, we might have disagreements, but we got to be on the same team.
South Dakota's anti-abortion movement has become more unified heading into the 2024 ballot question. Now, it's abortion rights supporters who struggle to agree on the way forward. That's next time on Unplanned Democracy. Lee Strubinger wrote, reported, and produced this episode. Kate Smith edited the script. Matthew Hancock wrote our music and mixed this episode. Josh Chilson is our news director. Kara Hetland, our director of journalism. Twyla Olson is our director of content. SDPB's executive director is Julie Overgaard. Special thanks to the late Denise Ross, who originally reported and produced the documentary Unplanned Democracy, and to her husband, David Larson, who allowed SDPB to use her audio and reporting for this project. You can watch the full Unplanned Democracy documentary on SDPB's YouTube page. Be sure to check out more at sdpb.org. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jackie Hendry. Join me for the next episode of Unplanned Democracy.